Anyway, it's 10 lines from the bottom of the page of Chav Gimel Amid Aleph. What's going on here? Hold it. Okay, the Gemara was discussing before that if a person became, so to speak, soiled in the Malkus process, so that itself freed him from continuing the Malkus. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel said, Kavtu, if they tied him up, V'rotz Mibezdin. What happens if they tied up a guy that he's going to be ready to give him Malkus? Like we learned, before Malkus, they tie him up, right? They tied him up, and before they were able to give him Malkus, the guy loosened. Boys, guys, shh, please. No, don't close the door. I want the door open, but go down. So it says that what happens is Bezdin tied him up, ready to give him Malkus, and the guy escaped. And he ran out. So the din is he's potter. Even if you catch him, he doesn't have to have Malkus anymore. Why? The fact that the guy ran away from Bezdin, that itself is an embarrassment. And therefore he, so to speak, fulfilled his obligation of getting Malkus. So the Gemara asks a question. Maisi, I'll ask you a question on this din of Shmuel. Because it says, Kala, what happened? Somebody became demeaned, meaning embarrassed, Bain Barishena, whether it was when he was about to hit him, or Bain Bishania, whether it was at the second time he hit him, pray to the Nesai, he doesn't have to give Malkus anymore. Meaning, what happens if they're about to whip him, and the guy got soiled, so he became embarrassed, or whether it was the second time, he doesn't get Malkus. What happened, Nifsekuratsua, what happens if the staff broke? The guy was whipping him, and the belt, you know, the whip broke. So the din is, Bishniya, what? What's off the hook? Oh, 1 minute. Bishniya, if it was by the second blow, that means one blow they gave him. And this, what? We didn't do this yet. No, not this.
Similar.
No, we didn't do this, Gemara, I'm telling you. And if it happened by the second time, then he's freed from Malkus. It happened by the first time, he is going to get Malkus. That means if they didn't give him Malkus yet, and the strap broke, he's going to get Malkus. So the Gemara asks, why is this different than running away? We just learned in the Gemara that if a guy was ready to get Malkus, and he ran away, he doesn't get Malkus. Right? Yet, if the strap broke before he got Malkus, then he does get Malkus. What's the difference? So the Gemara answers a very simple thing. Hasam Ratz, over there he ran away. Hachalei Ratz, here he didn't run away. What's the answer? The Gemara's answer is very simple. When a guy has to run away from Bezdin, that itself is an embarrassment. So if a guy ran away before he got whipped, he was embarrassed by the mere fact that he ran away. But if a guy was about to be whipped with a strap, and the strap broke, it's not an embarrassment. So therefore, he wasn't embarrassed. He has to get Malkus. That's what the Gemara is basically answering.
It's an embarrassment for the baby?
No, for the guy. People are going to talk, he ran away from Bezdin, it's not right.
How easy was it to flee from the Bezdin?
It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. I mean, how practical Shmuel's din was, I don't know. But the Gemara discusses all these crazy types of cases because it is a possibility. And it's not only that. Shmuel is teaching a concept that running away from Bezdin is considered enough of embarrassment that the Torah says, V'nikla, if you became soiled, embarrassed, you're already back to be a brother that you don't need to get Malkus. So it really doesn't matter if it happened or didn't happen. It's a possibility that it happened. He flies into Bezdin. Even if they caught him later, he's not going to get Malkus.
Where would they give him the lashes?
In Bezdin.
Oh, in the
Bezdin.
The Bezdin was in the Beit
HaMikdash. No, that was only the big Bezdin. Oh. To give Malkus, they didn't need the big Bezdin. Oh. Okay. Bezdin. Yeah, they didn't do it publicly. Sometimes the Torah says, by certain Avedis, you have to do it publicly, that everybody should see. But that's like by idol worshipping, that's not by regular lashes. Regular lashes, they did it privately.
Well, by the Sota, they did it publicly.
Yeah, but certain things, I'm saying, the adultery, you know, things like that, you do it publicly that everybody should hear it and know about it. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tan Rabban. The Rabban learned as follows. Amdu ksha yilke kala. What happens if Bezdin Chav Gimel Amir Aleph 2, 4, 7 lines in the bottom. Tan Rabban, Rabban learned. Amdu l'shal yilke. Remember we learned before that when everybody, anybody gets Malkus, first the doctors evaluate how many he can handle. So what happens if the doctors, the Bezdin doctor said, Bezdin, when this guy gets one whip, he's going to become soiled. Okay? So therefore the din is, pray to Nasi, he doesn't get any lashes. He's going to make in his pants or something like that. So if doctor said, this guy is going to be soiled, just to use a nice word, he's going to lose it, so then you don't even give him Malkus. Why? Because the Bezdin doesn't, in other words, if he became humiliated after they whipped him, is one thing. But when Bezdin knows by whipping him he's going to become humiliated, Bezdin's not going to do it. Because if the part that we'll see in the Gemara, the Torah says, whip him, and then he'll become your brother. So you have to whip him first before he becomes embarrassed. If you can embarrass him by whipping him, and the doctors say that that's what's going to happen, then you can't do it. But
if it's not done publicly, then why would it be an embarrassment?
To himself, and to the people. There's the Shliach Bezdin, there's the hitter, there's the reader, you know, there's the people are there. You mean after he got whipped a little bit?
I mean, if he's willing to go through the degradation of doing
that, then he did it.
He wouldn't know the law, probably, that kind of person.
I mean, but if you're right. If he got the law, that's it. Now, what happened? But what happens if the doctor said as follows? He's not going to get soiled as soon as you whip him. He's going to become embarrassed after he leaves Bezdin. So then the din is, Malkanaisi, you do whip him. It's only if you're going to whip him and he becomes soiled and embarrassed right away, that's when you don't whip him. But if Bezdin says it's going to take 10 minutes, 20 minutes until he does it, so then you could whip him. V'loy aid, and not only that, Elafi, L'kola, B'tchila. Even if he soiled himself before the actual beginning came, Malkanaisi hit him anyway. Why? And I'll explain this, seemingly it's a contradiction, but it's not. Shenama, because it says that he called hit him first, and then Vinikla, and then he'll become embarrassed. By making, like he said in his pants, he'll be soiled. Meaning as follows. When the doctors evaluate, that is the beginning of the process. So if the doctors are evaluating him that he's going to get whipped once, he's going to be soiled, so then Bezdin can't hit him. But if the doctor didn't say anything, and they're about to hit him, and he soils himself before they even hit him, so the process of hitting never started. If the process of hitting never started, the Torah says, first you need the process of hitting, then if he gets soiled, he gets out of it. But not if he soils himself before the hitting. That means this guy, what you said, has to be a realist scholar. He has to know, he has to do it after he got hit, not before. Because if he done it before, then he's out in both fronts. Then he got himself soiled, plus he's going to get Malkus anyway. But it's interesting, I mean, I don't know what Farshim said, but this is the way I understand the Gemara, that the process of the doctors evaluating him is the process of hitting already. So therefore, once the doctors estimate that he'll be hit once, so get it, so the process started, so then the soiling will start after the hitting, so then he's freed. But if the guy soiled himself before they whipped him, so Bezdin says, tough luck, you're going to get whipped anyway.
Give him a diaper.
True. And like it says, the Gemara quotes just before the Mishnah, because it says the kol hit him v'nikla, and then he becomes soiled. V'loi shalaka kvar bebezin, not if already he was demeaned in Bezdin before the hitting. And as you have to push and wait for the hitting to happen before anything. I mean, the soiling, the hitting to happen first, and then he could become soiled. Okay, next starts a very simple Gemara, easy Gemara until the end of the Masechta. The Mishnah says as follows. This is one opinion of the Gemara. Kochai v'krisis shaloku. Any person who's supposed to get kares, meaning that you're supposed to die before 50 or 60, they got malchus, nifteru yidei krisosim, they get out of kares. Now this is a very interesting thing. If somebody eats on Yom Kippur, the punishment is kares. Somebody eats chametz on Pesach, the punishment is kares. There's a lot of avedis. You do them, you get kares. So the Gemara says, what happens if you got whipped? Once you get whipped, you're not going to get kares anymore. Why? And because they're proof from a pasuk. V'nikla achicha le'inecha, lest your brother be demeaned in front of your eyes. So what is the Mishnah learning? Kshalaka, once he gets flogged, once he gets hit, arehu ka'achicha, he becomes like your brother. And if he's your brother, he doesn't get kares. Because he's not a sinner anymore.
So once he's had kares, and if he doesn't get malchus, so he's not considered your brother until he dies?
Correct.
Kares is min ha-shamayim,
right? Huh? No, he brings down a whole thing over here. If one who transgressed a sin, that he's liable kares, even if he repented, okay, the repentance itself is not sufficient. Here. Kamnej repented, malchus exempt him from kares. Okay? The Mefarshim explained that repentance by itself is not sufficient because for kares-bearing transgressions, repentance in Yom Kippur only suspends the punishment. Now, what does it mean? Our Mishnah is saying malchus takes the place of Yom Kippur and Shuvah. In other words, it takes away the suffering that you're supposed to suffer and the punishment of Yom Kippur. In Tanya, he quotes, in the Gersa Tshuva, the first page, he says, if you transgress a positive mitzvah, you do tshuva, you're immediately forgiven. You transgress a negative commandment, you need tshuva and Yom Kippur. If you do an avera of al krisis misis bezdin, tshuva v'yem ha-kippurim teilen v'yisurim ha-markin, which means that tshuva and Yom Kippur make it hanging yet, and if you suffer, so then you get out of it. Okay, so what the Gemara is saying over here, that if somebody did an aveda, you're supposed to get kares, that normally you need to tshuva, Yom Kippur, and punishment. The Gemara says, if you get whipped, it took away Yom Kippur, it took away tshuva, you're already forgiven. You're automatically forgiven. What?
So if, let's say today, if someone does something, I mean, and they know it's wrong, and
there's no kares today.
So would they get yisurin? I mean,
God is merciful. If you do tshuva, God knows you did tshuva, you can get out of it. Why? Because the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, in the Gersa Tshuva, asks a very simple question. Kares and Misa B'day Shemayim. Okay, there's two punishments that God kills you. Kares and Misa B'day Shemayim. One is before 50, one is before 60. There's an argument which one's which. Which one's 60 and which one's 50. But the Alter Rebbe asks, why is it that there's so many people today that do avedas of kares and they live long, happy, healthy, wealthy, great lives? If they're supposed to die before 50 or 60. Right? So the Alter Rebbe explains, elaborates in Tanya, that the concept of kares means you did an aveda that cut the string, the lifeline between you and Hashem. There's a lifeline coming down with chayis, and you do a kares, you cut the lifeline. But you have, so therefore you basically cut life. You have what's called kista d'chiyusa. You have a little bit of life keeping you going until you're 50 or 60. That's the concept of kares. So the Alter Rebbe explains, that's only when people lived from kedusha. When you live from godliness, and you did an aveda that cut the line, so you're going to die at 50 or 60. But nowadays we live from evil anyway. So Dr. Ed says, keep on trucking with evil. You can go on for another million years. So the Alter Rebbe explains, that's why you can have a guy that didn't have any of course, and they live a long, happy, healthy, wealthy life. And that's what the Rebbe quoted in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Rav Yosef, the famous Rav Yosef of the Gemara, when he turned 60, threw a party, a birthday party for the Chachamim, and he said, thank God, I left the chorus category. I'm out of the chorus category. So the whole sikha from the Rebbe explains, how did Rav Yosef know he lived from Kedusha? I mean, obviously he did, but maybe he was a Rasha that lived longer, right? So the Rebbe proves to Magmar in Hadius that Rav Yosef didn't see a doctor for 22 years. The whole story, they were supposed to pick Rabbi Rav Yosef, a whole long story, I don't want to get into it now, but Rav Yosef lived without a doctor for 22 years. And because there's a din, you're not allowed to live in a city where there's no doctor. Because by nature, you get sick. Right? By nature, you get sick. And therefore, you're not allowed to put yourself in a dangerous situation to live in a city where there's no doctor. Okay. So that means by nature, people do get sick. If Rav Yosef didn't need a doctor for 22 years, he understood he's living supernaturally. So he understood he's living from Kedusha. If he's living from Kedusha and he hit 60, he made a party. Many tzaddikim, the Rebbe brings down, many tzaddikim taka, when they hit 60, they made parties, but they connected it to a siyum of a mesechta, they finished the mesechta. In fact, when the Rebbe hit 60, the Rebbe made a big farbreng. In those days, farbrengs were not common, like they were in the later years. The Rebbe made a siyum, and the Rebbe spoke the sicha about the whole thing with Rav Yosef, and the Rebbe made a siyum on a mesechta. So tzaddikim know that they live in Kedusha, but that's why there's no kaddish today, because we don't live in Kedusha.
What about
and they do an Aveda, they die soon after. No, yeah, I mean, it's a good question. What happens if a 65-year-old guy eats Chametz and Pesach, or eats a Yom Kippur? Not because of health reasons, because he just... So then, okay. So the Mishnah says as follows. Any chayvei krisis that gets malchus gets out of kodesh. Then it says, Divrei Rab Chanani ben Gamliel. These are the words, the opinion of Rab Chanani ben Gamliel. Shimshin, I think there's a lady there. Told this Rabbi Wolf's not coming tonight. And next week also not. V'amer Rab Chanani ben Gamliel. The same, Rab Chanani ben Gamliel said a very profound statement. What if somebody does one aveda? You get kodesh, you forfeit your soul. Hashem kills you. So mitzvah achas. If you do a mitzvah, how much more so is your soul going to be returned for you? There's a rule in the Gemara that good is 500 times better than bad. Why? Because it says in Chumash, when people are sinning, in the Aser Sadibis, it says, Shileshim v'aribayim l'sainai. Hashem says, when you know, grandparents, great-grandparents, grandparents, you know, act evil, Hashem remembers the sins for four generations. For four generations, Hashem remembered. There's no Rabbi Wolf's class tonight. Not, we have a Gemara class. What do you mean, oh, what are you doing? You don't like Gemara?
Next week either.
Next week of fasting. So it said, huh?
Monday night, next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? That's in the morning. So it says, by Avedis, Hashem keeps it going for four generations. By good, we say in Parshas Kisisa when we read on the fast day, Noitze Chesed Lo Alofim. Hashem does kindness for 2,000 generations. So the Torah by bad says Hashem remembers it for four generations. By good, Hashem says I remember it for 2,000 generations. So 2,000 is 500 times more than four. So therefore, the Gemara learns out that good is 500 times better than bad. So Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel says, if Hashem, by one aveda that you do, Hashem is ready to kill you. So you can imagine if you do a mitzvah that's 500 times better than bad, for sure Hashem is giving your life back to you. What?
So I just out of curiosity, do we know who Moshe Rabbeinu's descendants were, like in the Tanakh period?
No. So Rav Shimon Eimer, Rav Shimon says, Mimkemi Hulaman. You don't have to do it from a different pasuk. You could do it from the pasuk of this itself. Why? Because it says in the pasuk Shenemad, when the Torah discusses the Avedis that you get Kodesh, so the Torah says, V'nichras ha'nefashis ha'asis, the nefashis that get Kodesh are going to be cut off. And right afterwards it says, Asher yasa ha'oysam ha'adam, that a person will do, V'chai b'am, and live with them. And he shall live. That means in the same pasuk, the Torah is saying first Kodesh, meaning you'll get killed, and if you do mitzvahs, you'll live. So you see, that's like what the Rav Chanani ben Gamliel said. Hasid Gemara says, Kol hayesh v'le'avar aveda, the Mishnah continues and says, if anybody sits and doesn't do an aveda, neisen leischad, we give him reward, ka'es the mitzvah as if he does a mitzvah. That means the Gemara says, if somebody sits and doesn't do an aveda, we give him reward like he's doing a mitzvah. But here the Gemara doesn't explain what it means. The Gemara in Kedushin explains, what does this din mean? It doesn't mean when you're sleeping 10 hours a night means you're getting 10 hours of mitzvahs. No, that's not what it means. What the Gemara over here means is the Gemara in Kedushin explains that if you walk by a McDonald's and you have a desire to eat a cheeseburger and you don't, so Hashem gives you a mitzvah. It considers it as if you did a positive, active mitzvah. That doesn't mean when you're business, and because you're not stealing, or whatever, you're not eating treif, whatever, it doesn't mean you're getting a mitzvah if you're not eating treif. When you want to eat treif, and you don't, or you want to do something, or you want to speak Lashon, or whatever it may be, you know, and you don't, so then Hashem gives you a mitzvah. No, if you have a desire to sin, somebody has a desire to eat something treif and they don't, so they get a mitzvah.
Yeah, but let's see, if you open a book and you learn, it's a mitzvah, but what if you don't do anything? You don't do nothing.
You don't get a mitzvah.
You don't, just don't do the sin and you have a tava for the sin, and you don't do the sin and you just don't do anything.
So then you get a mitzvah. But not if you're just sitting and doing nothing, you don't get a mitzvah. What? Now, Reb Shimon b'Reb Rebbe, this continues the Mishnah. By the way, this is a very interesting basic concept of Yiddishkeit, what we just learned in the next week. It says, Hari Omer, it says in the Torah, Rak chazak levilti achil adam. The Torah says, strengthen yourself not to eat blood, ki adamu anefesh, because blood is the nefesh. So the Torah says, you have to strengthen yourself not to eat blood. Which obviously, who wants to eat blood? That the Torah says, strengthen yourself not to eat blood. So Reb Shimon b'Reb Rebbe says as follows, what if in case of blood, shenav shishadun katsum, and that person hates, by nature, you hate eating blood, yet, haperish mimenu, if somebody abstains from eating blood, mekabel schad, he gets reward. So gezov arayis, theft and immorality, shenav shishaladim misavalam, that person does desire them, umachamados, and many, he has a strong desire for it, haperish mehem, if you don't do it, meaning you don't steal, you don't commit adultery, alachas kama v'kama shiyiskolei, how much more so will he merit l'deira lei for him, l'deiraisav and his children, l'deira deiraisav and his children's children, atzev kol adeiras to the end of all generations. So Rav Shimon Rabbi adds another dimension to this concept. That if the Torah gives you reward for not eating something you hate to eat, how much more so things that you want to sin and you don't, how much more reward are you going to get? Because the harder the thing is to keep, the more reward there is to get. That's the way Hashem works. It's very simple. The harder the mitzvah is, the more reward you get. The easier... What? You get rewarded, you, your children, your grandchildren, till the end of all generations. Give another example over here. Okay, this is the famous Mishnah that everybody knows. Rav Hanani ben Akashi, but this is where the Mishnah originally is, by the way. Rav Hanani ben Akashi says, "V'ratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu l'zakeh es Yisrael." Hashem wanted to give Jews a lot of zchusim, a lot of merits. The fikach hirbo lahem teirim mitzvos. Therefore, he gave him a lot of teirim mitzvos. In other words, Hashem could have given us 10 mitzvahs and finished. Right? Everybody would be happy. Why did Hashem give us 613 mitzvahs? Because Hashem wants to give us more merits and more schusim. So by giving us more mitzvahs, we automatically get more merits. Because we have the opportunity to connect ourselves to Hashem more. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, Hashem chavetz leman tzidkei. Hashem desires for the righteousness of the Jews. And therefore, Yagdol Teda, he wants Teda to become bigger, v'yadid, and to be strengthened. So therefore, basically, the Eibishter gave us, you know, we can technically do one mitzvah. Hashem gave us more mitzvahs that we should be able to have more schusim. And therefore, what's the connection to before? The Mefarshim explained very simply. If nobody wants to eat bugs, if nobody wants to eat blood, why does the Torah have to make a mitzvah out of it? Nobody wants to do it anyway. So this is what Rabbi Hananim and Akashi is saying in connection to the previous statement. The previous statement, Rabbi Shimon Barabi says, if mitzvahs that you don't want, you know, sins that you don't want to do anyway, Hashem rewards you. So therefore, he says, that's why Hashem made it a mitzvah. Why did Hashem give us more mitzvahs by telling us not to do things we don't want to do anyway? Like eating blood, bugs, who wants to eat a cockroach? I mean, not in America at least. You know, in other countries they do, but nobody wants to anyway. So why does Hashem make a mitzvah out of it? To give us more reward. What?
The prohibition of blood includes like the redness of meat, like the medium.
Not that. That's already juice, it's called. No, but including in blood is why you have to kosher the meat with salt. You know, to take out the blood that's in the meat. Right, because liver is so full of blood, just salting it, like you do regular meat, wouldn't take out the blood. But after you kosher meat, then the redness that you see, unless if there's a blood clot, that you have to cut away. So I'm saying when you cook meat, you know, there's like this juice that's red, that's called mahil, that's called juice, it's not blood. That you're allowed to eat.
The meat you buy is already salted.
Well, nowadays, yeah. Years ago, women bought meat, they took it home and they kashered it. They kosher chickens, you know. There's the whole process how to kosher chickens, you know. Today, if you buy from a kosher butcher, today is even different than years ago. Years ago, the butchers that you buy the meat, koshered the meat. Today, it's already koshered in the plants where they manufacture it. Matter of fact, where they do the massive shechita. By the time the butchers get it here, it's already koshered. All they do is cut it up and.
So you got the plants, because you like you have your own plants in Iowa, right?
And you have Ralph's and Safeway.
But I don't eat Ralph's.
Oh.
Yeah, of course it's
like. Years ago, there's a din. Listen, there's a din that you can only kosher meat with the salt process within 72 hours of the shechita. That's the din. Once the meat went by already 72 hours and it wasn't salted, the salt will not remove the... Then you have to kosher it like liver. You have to broil it over an open flame to take it out. So, years ago, when there were no planes, and there were, I mean, basically people sent by trains, right? So you had meat, used to be shechted in the Midwest. That's where the slaughterhouses were, in the Midwest. And then they used to have to, by train, send the meat to East Coast, and for that matter, West Coast. But then primarily was the East Coast. And the problem was that if you shechted the meat Friday morning, let's say they shechted meat Friday morning, so you have a Shabbos in between. So you have Friday to Shabbos to Sunday to Monday. So let's say you shechted the meat Friday morning, 8 o'clock. The meat had to be kashered before Monday morning, 8 o'clock. With everything closed Sunday and Shabbos to Shabbos, that was a big problem. So one of the hetedim that not everybody relied on, but some people did, was that along the way, they had guys going on the train and hosing down the meat. And the leniency was that if you hose down the meat within the 72 hours, you have another 72 hours. So if they hose down the meat, let's say Sunday, so then they have 3 days from Sunday. That was the leniency that the firm people didn't rely on, other people did rely on. So it was a big problem years ago getting the meat to the destination for the butchers to catch it within 72 hours. So nowadays, they make the process much easier. Today, in the plants where they kill the meat, the slaughterhouses, over there they kosher the meat. So it's done right away. You don't have this whole problem with the three-day process and so on and so forth. But the reason why you kosher meat is to get out the blood. Rabbinically, human blood is also blood. Not biblically, rabbinically, you're not allowed to eat human blood. Which means, if you cut yourself, you know, let's say you made a small cut on the finger, people have a tendency going like this. You're not allowed to do that because then you're eating the blood. You're allowed to eat blood that never left you. Not if your gums are bleeding, you can swallow the blood. But once the blood left your mouth, you can't eat it. So what happens if you bit into an apple? Sometimes whatever, your gums are whatever. So you start bleeding. The gums are tender, so you start bleeding. And on the apple that you bit into, there's some blood that you can't bite into and eat again. Rabbinically, you have to wash it off.
Why only the fish?
Because the Torah speaks about the animal blood.
Only?
Yeah.
Then it's your own soul in the blood.
That's why fish blood, you're allowed to eat. You don't have to salt fish. Right? Even though there's type of blood in fish too. Right? Just chicken, you know, fowl and animals are biblically you have to eat. You have to remove the blood. Okay, anyway, back to the Gemara. So the Mishnah said a bunch of statements. The first statement the Mishnah said was, and this is all from Hanani ben Gamliel. So Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel said, as far as what the Gemara is discussing now, that a person that was supposed to get karis, that got malchus, he's freed from karis. That's what it said in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechanan said, Chalukin olav chaver of Rabbi Hananya. Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel's colleagues disagreed with him. And they said that even if you get malchus, you're still going to get karis. Later, it's interesting, later Gemara is going to ask, was anybody ever went up there to know? Did anybody go up to heaven to find out if a guy got karis or not? How do they know? You know, it's like, it's impossible to find out what the reality is. Because you're telling God what to do. One opinion says, if you get malchus, you're not going to get karis. The other opinion says, no, you're still going to get karis. So like, basically, let God do what he wants. What do you know?
That was my question. I said, Minas Shamayah, could somebody say you get malchus?
Well, in a technical sense, we learned already in the past, that Beis Din down here controls a lot what's going on up there. So if Beis Din, Torah is not in the heavens, Torah is down here. So if Beis Din down here says, God, you're not allowed to give him karis, then God won't. You know, it's up to Beis Din to decide. If Torah says that a guy that got malchus does not get karis, then Hashem's not going to give him karis. How could he? Hashem doesn't go against the Torah. Right? Hashem doesn't live on Pico. Hashem, right? Hashem goes according to the Torah. So, yeah, I know. I didn't say anything. Yeah. Well, she gave away her life for her father, yeah. Okay, so now, Rabbi Yechanan said a statement that Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel's colleagues argued against him. So the Gemara is going to ask a question on this. Amar Avada Barava, or, well, the Gemara is going to try to prove it or ask on it, whatever. So the Gemara says, Amar Avada Barava, Avada Barava said, Amar Beirav, they said in the yeshiva of Rav, that Rabbi Yechanan's statement, I'll prove it, that he's right. That the people argue on Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. Because there's a Mishnah in Megillah that says as follows. Ein ben Shabbos liyem kippurim. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur as far as what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. Ela shezez deini b'dei odom, except Shabbos. If you desecrate Shabbos publicly, openly, Bezdin will kill you. V'zen Yom Kippur, z'deini b'kodis, you get the punishment of kodis. Meaning the Gemara says, the Mishnah Megillah says, what you're not, like Yom Tov, you could do things that Shabbos you're not allowed to, right? But Yom Kippur and Shabbos have the same din. If you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it on Yom Kippur. What's the difference, though, the Gemara says? Shabbos, for desecrating it intentionally, you get stoned. And for Yom Kippur, desecrating Yom Kippur, you get chorus. Because the Torah explicitly says you get chorus. So he says, V'im Isa, if you're going to say that if you get Malkus, you don't get chorus, both are in the hands of people. Because what's Bezdin going to do? They're going to give you Malkus if you desecrate Yom Kippur. So even Yom Kippur, Bezdin punishes you. You're telling me that Shabbos, you get punished by courts. And Yom Kippur, you only get punished by Hashem. But if you're going to say you get Malkus for Chorus, so then you're not, even Yom Kippur, you get punished by Bezdin. Why does it say Yom Kippur, you get punished only by Hashem? So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says not a proof. Amani, this goes according to Rav Yitzchok. Rav Yitzchok says, Malkus b'chayve krisis lekel. Rav Yitzchok says, a guy that gets kodis doesn't get Malkus. Meaning as follows. There's an argument, not here, in a different place. When a guy doesn't avade it, that gets kodis. Because obviously God kills you before 50 or 60. What does Bezdin do? Nothing? Or they whip you? So the Chachamim hold, Bezdin whips you anyway. No, because he died before 60. The guy's 40. Yeah? 30. What? He doesn't die right away. He dies when he gets to 60. Right? So the question is, does Bezdin do nothing? Or does Bezdin whip him anyway? Because he transgressed the negative commandment. Chorus is basically for negative commandment. Except Bris Milah and Korban Pesach. But otherwise, Chorus is only for negative commandments. So the Chachamim hold, anytime a guy eats on Yom Kippur, eats Chametz HaPesach, whatever it is, granted God is going to give Chorus, but Bezdin's going to whip you anyway. So the Gemara's question was, if Bezdin whips you anyway, so even Yom Kippur is in the hand of Bezdin. Why does the Gemara, the Mishnah say, Shabbos you get punished by Bezdin, and Yom Kippur you get punished by God, Yom Kippur is also by Bezdin. And not only that, once Bezdin whips you, you don't get Kodesh. So basically, there is no concept of Kodesh, really, according to that. So the Gemara says, it goes according to Rav Yitzchak, who says, there's no Malkus by Kodesh. Kedetanya, because we learned, Rav Yitzchak Eimer, Rav Yitzchak says as follows, Chai v'krisis b'chal hoyu. There's no Rabbi Wolf's class tonight. No, not tonight, not next week. You know, next week's a fast day, so there's no class, and tonight he's out of town, I think. He gave over a message yesterday, I don't know. Okay. So he says, Chai v'krisis, Avedis of Kodis, were all part of the Torah's general statement, meaning as follows. When the Torah speaks about the adulterous relations, the Torah at the end says, whoever does any of these avedas, get kodesh. Yet the Torah adds that if you have relations with your sister, you get kodesh. So the question is, if the Torah says for all adulterous relations, you get kodesh, why does the Torah say again, for your sister you get kodesh? It's included in the rest. So Gemara says the Torah is teaching us that you only get karis and nothing else. In other words, the fact that the Torah picked one sin of karis and you mention it again that you get karis, that itself teaches us that for aveiros of karis, you only get karis, you don't get malchus. So therefore, the Mishnah that says that the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is Shabbos you get punished by Bezdin, and Yom Kippur you get punished by God, goes according to Rabbi Yitzchok. Because according to Rabbi Yitzchok, there is no malchus by Bezdin. But maybe, according to the other opinion, that even for karis you get malchus, maybe everybody would agree, once you get karis, and malchus, I mean, once you get malchus, you're not going to get karis. Okay, we'll leave it here.